Who has ever heard of such a thing? Who has ever seen such things? Can a country be born in a day, or a nation be brought forth in a moment? Yet no sooner is Zion in labor than she gives birth to her children.
When it comes to accuracy, no one can hold a candle to the biblical prophets. Their record of prophetic utterance is so far unblemished by any failure. Not surprisingly, those prophecies have concerned the fate of Israel. And as history can now attest, one of the most difficult prophecies to fulfill came to pass as the entire world watched.
2,600 years ago, the prophet Ezekiel received a vision from God in which Israel as a people was viewed as a scattering of dead bones. I will gather them from all around and bring them back into their own land. I will make them one nation in the land on the mountains of Israel. There will be one king over all of them, and they will never again be divided into two kingdoms.
This prophecy in Ezekiel is one of the most remarkable and specific found in the Bible, and many of us living today have watched this come to pass.
The long and tumultuous history of the nation of Israel included a period of some 1,700 years in which the Jews were scattered throughout the world, and Israel basically ceased to exist. However, Israel was still able to maintain its identity even after being removed from its homeland. Its reforming was truly a miracle and an infallible sign of the end times.
Ezekiel describes a scene of skin and bones rattling and breath coming into these bones. He describes a scene of a Holocaust, the only scene that you could possibly find to compare it with is the Holocaust in Germany. Indeed, it was a Holocaust, but Ezekiel describes something else. He describes not only the catastrophic pain and suffering of the Jewish people, but he describes a regathering and breath being brought into them and a nation being born out of it. In fact, that happened prophetically through an act of God on the 14th of May, 1948.
Biblical scholars agree that the reestablishment of Israel was a key prophecy that had to be fulfilled in order for the rest of the Bible's end-time predictions to fall into place. But what happens next?
I tell you the truth. This generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away.
Is the existence of the nation of Israel really a signal that the end-time prophecies are about to be fulfilled, perhaps even in our own generation? While some Christians take a keen interest in these matters, many Christians find it easier to avoid the subject altogether. Perhaps they find the ancient prophecies too confusing, or they believe that if they're grounded in their faith, they don't need to know the specifics of what the Bible predicts will happen in the final days. But is this dangerous ground?
The disciples ask Jesus in Matthew 24, "What will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?" Jesus said, "Take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and will deceive many. False Christs and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect."
Then 2 years ago, he proclaimed himself Christ.
Oh, I won't die. No, I won't die. No, no, I won't die. Even if you try to kill me. I do greater things than Jesus of Nazareth. Much greater.
Greater than Jesus of Nazareth?
Much greater.
Does that make you greater than Jesus?
I am greater than him.
For people with no hope for the future, these dire predictions are too frightening to consider. But those who have their hope in Christ know God not only has an eternal plan, but that their eternal future is positive and it's in His hands. Yet with all that's going on around us, we can't help but wonder, are we living in the last generation?
Think about man's worst inhumanities to man in modern times. Genocide in Rwanda, billions killed during the Pol Pot regime in Cambodia, and of course the Nazi Holocaust in Germany in which millions of Jews were killed. Take a deep breath and realize that the tribulation will be worse, much worse, than all of these things combined.
It all begins with the Antichrist, a wolf in sheep's clothing who will convince the world that he alone can usher in world peace, yet ultimately will bring destruction and damnation. In the book of Revelation, the Apostle John writes about this dark figure as seen in a vision he received from God.
The beast shall ascend out of the bottomless pit, and they that dwell on earth shall wonder when they behold the beast that was and is not, yet is.
The Red Horseman carries a large sword and represents war. He is given the power to take peace from the earth. Many scholars believe he represents a conflict that will bring death to Earth on a massive scale. He is World War III, chemical warfare, and a nuclear holocaust all rolled into one.
Rise up, forces of evil! Rise up and destroy all who stand against you! Arise! It is I, your Lord, who command you!
Destroy the towns of the earth. We're in the early stages of what I would describe as the Third World War.
This is World War III.
I believe if you take all the countries I just listed that you've been covering, put them on a map, look at all the different connectivity, you'd have to say to yourself, this is in fact World War III.
The Red Horseman carries a large sword and represents war. He is given the power to take peace from the earth. Many scholars believe he represents a conflict that will bring death to Earth on a massive scale. He is World War III, chemical warfare, and a nuclear holocaust all rolled into one. The Third Horseman rides a black horse and symbolizes the famine and disease that often follow in the wake of war. But the fourth rider is the worst of them all.
I looked, and there before me was a pale horse. Its rider was named Death, and Hades was following close behind him. They were given power over a fourth of the earth to kill by sword, famine, and plague, and by the wild beasts of the earth.
When this begins, we may see as much as one quarter of our population, well over a billion people, die as a result. And if the conflict goes to the level of nuclear warfare, then the nuclear fallout and mass destruction could easily render land that was once fertile into a wasteland, with famine being the end result. When we consider the verses in Revelation 6, it's important to remember that the rider of the pale horse, named Death, is followed close behind by Hades. That's significant because it means that those slain are unbelievers, for upon death, believers do not go to Hades, but straight to the Savior's side.